spiritual fruit.
All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody in the house who made it today. And I always want to say hello to everyone who's out there watching online, wherever you may be. Thanks for joining us and just making, whether you're in here or out there, making God a part of your day and that we get to be a part of that. We're very grateful. And my hope and prayer every single time is that you felt God's presence. I know He wants to speak to you. I pray that you've heard Him so far and that you felt it and that it continues on as we get into His Word this morning. So let's get to it. As we're wrapping up this series on spiritual fruit, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those, get those out, or electronics, and open them up to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and we'll be getting there in 1 minute. But before we get to that, I do want to take a quick minute to give a plug about what we're going to be kicking off next week, which is we're entering into a season of prayer as a church. We're calling it Praying For. And so if you were here last year, what we did was we started this off as like a sermon series, and I think it quickly turned into, God showed up in powerful ways, and so it quickly turned into what I want to say is like a more of a spiritual campaign for us as a church. And so we decided we're just going to do this every September. That it's just a great way to kick the fall off. And so starting next Sunday and in the month of September, we're going to just put our entire focus as a church on prayer. All right, so we're going to be doing a sermon series where we're going to be talking about what prayer is and how we can increase our prayer lives as we ask God to bring fresh vision into our lives and into our families and into our church. And so we're also going to have during that time a 28 days of intentional prayer, and we'll have guides there for you starting next week where everybody, we're going to be praying united together for the same thing every day as a church. And so we'll have that, and we'll have some stuff on our social media during the month of September. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. So hopefully you're looking forward to it. Next Sunday, you'll show up as we kick this off as a church. I'm ready to kick off the fall, right? And what better way to do it than praying, everybody, right? Amen, everybody. So hopefully you're ready to do that as well. But let's get to, as we wrap up this series on spiritual fruit. So what we've been doing is we have been talking about these 9 characteristics from Galatians 5, and these are the things that should be marking the attitude and the personality of a Christian. And what we've learned over the last several weeks is that this really isn't, I think a lot of people can look at this like a list where you check things off of whether you have them or not. It's not so much something like that where you check these things off if you have it or you don't have it, but it's more like it should be a description of who we should be looking like when we live out the values that God has on us and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us as we change and follow Jesus. And really, gang, listen, I'm so glad we took a few weeks to be talking about these things, because I think now more than ever it's really important to talk about this. It's important to talk about these things for a few reasons. First of all, like, I really think that for us as believers in Jesus, for us as a church of Jesus, I think we need to get more in step with just not believing the stuff we read, but actually living it out. Just like actually living this out. Because listen, we were changed by Jesus. And so if we're changed by Jesus, man, then that should set us apart. And we should be a light as a result, shining into the world. Now listen to me. The world is badly, the world's searching for real love and joy and real peace and real faith. All of this, so the world is searching for that. And so I just think all we need to do is if we just live out these values that God has for us, like the world's gonna see it. And here's what it is. The world will be drawn to Him. Not to you, but to God, to how God's working in our lives. And I think that's something that the world desperately needs. That's one of the first reasons why I think this is a good, important to talk about. But here's the other reason why we're talking about this stuff, is because God just wants this for you. Like, He just wants this in your life. You know, one of the reasons we're here, and we come here to worship God and celebrate Jesus, but we also come here to encourage each other and help each other in our faith, because here's what we believe. I don't know if you believe or not, but we do as a church. We believe wherever you are right now, God has more. Amen, everybody? God has more for us. He has more for us. We don't want to settle with just talking about faith. No. We want to live it out. We want to really experience the fullness and freedom that comes with saying yes to Jesus. Can I get an amen, everybody? That's why we're here. And so that's what we believe as we keep saying yes to Him and taking these steps with Him. We just believe that. So I hope everybody's with me on that. So the scripture that we've been using over the last several weeks, it comes out of Galatians 5, and here's what it says. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It produces love, and joy and peace, patience, produces kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And one of the things that we didn't really spend much time on is that last statement right there where it says there is no law against these things. But everybody, listen, that last sentence right there is so important for us to catch. Because here's what this is saying. What this is getting at is this is the Bible's way of saying that rules alone can't teach you this stuff. Like just following the yeses and nos and the do's and don'ts, like that's not going to produce this kind of life. No, that these things actually come from an internal change, an internal thing that is going on rather than following external rules. There's a place for rules. Rules are good, but the rules alone are not going to produce this kind of life. There's this transformational thing that starts on the inside and then it grows and it becomes fruit on the outside of our lives. And today we're going to wrap this up by looking at the very last one on that list. We're going to look at self-control. If you have your notes, go ahead and get those out there. We're going to define it. If you want to write this down, here's what self-control means. And this is actually coming out of the biblical dictionary, the concordance of the Bible, when it looks at the original wording and what it actually means. So this is the biblical definition of self-control. If you want to write this down, that it's mastering your desires and passions, especially sensual appetites. All right. It's mastering our desires and passions, especially sensual appetites. So here's the reality for like every single one of us as we sit here today. Here it is. We all have passions. We all have desires. There's no one that lacks them. We all have passions and desires. And here's the thing. Some of those are good, but there are some that pull us outside of God's will. And self-control is the ability to master. It's the strength. Actually, the root Greek word for self-control, it actually means strength. So it's actually having the strength to master those desires instead of letting those become the master over you, okay? So let me just ask before we get going on this, is there anything in your life that you would say is a little bit out of control? Is there something going on where you would say you're not mastering it, that it's a little bit more out of control than you want it to be? For some of us, it might just be as simple as our temper. You know, maybe that's a little bit out of control. We lash out easy, we let anger get the best of us. For others, it might be just our attitude. It's where we're constantly just more than we want to be critical and negative about things. Maybe for you, it's just your thought life. You just cannot get control over those thoughts that come across your heads. Maybe it's an appetite for something, whether it's food or pleasure or entertainment. And maybe it's like finances. Finances are just out of control right now. And listen, I could keep going, but I got the gist of it, right? Everybody, like, I don't want to come down, right? Because right now there are so many just thinking like, yeah, there's a couple of those. And here's the thing, like before you think you're the only one, right? Before you start thinking that you're the only one finding yourself out of control, I want to tell you, I'm here to tell you this, you're not alone. You are absolutely not alone. We've all had times where things have come up against us, where we feel like, at least feel like it, things are getting a little out of control. And here's the other good news, even the biggest names in the Bible have had this happen as well. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he writes about this a little bit about his life. And so we're gonna get in there, Romans 7. Let's see what he says about his own life. And we're gonna pick this up in verse 15. Here's what he says about it. He says, I love how he said, I really don't understand myself. Anybody been there? I don't understand. I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And he goes on to say this. He says in verse 18, he goes, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. And I mean, come on, man, if there's ever a place in the Bible where you need somebody fessing up to saying me too, isn't this it? Like where you're like, okay, Paul, thank you so much. Like somebody out there is like, whoo, like, okay, like Paul's there. Okay, I understand. Where is this? So what's going on? What's going on? Well, here's what's going on. See, for everyone who's a Christian, for everybody who has a saving faith in Jesus Christ and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, and now you're in a right relationship with God, for every single one of us, Scripture tells us that we're still walking around with two natures that are in conflict with each other. So we have the new nature, and that's what we have in Christ, that's what changed in us, but then we still have this old nature. And so this is what I found really interesting when I started going through the study in this self-control. Like I found it's really cool. Actually in Galatians 5, before we get to the fruit of the Spirit verses, if you just back up a few verses, if you want to jump there, it actually covers this in verse 17. So this is right before he gets to the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what he says about this. Check this out in Galatians 5:17. He says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. That's the old and the new, right? And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. And so what this is saying is that as a Christian, I can find myself losing control of things that are in my life that I shouldn't really be losing control of, or feeling like I'm losing a little bit of control. And when you read the Bible, here's what you'll come across over and over again. You will come across the message that it is not good to be out of control. And listen, honestly, you don't need the Bible to tell you that, do you, everybody? Like, you know, we didn't learn something right there. Because everybody knows this. You don't want to be out of control either. Because you know, like, when you're out of control, you're miserable. You're absolutely miserable. Because right after you do the thing you shouldn't do, right after you don't do that, right, you feel miserable. And so, where does this start? Like, how does this start? What is the root of this stuff? Is it all this list of things I got to be worried about? Well, here's something to understand. Believe it or not, it's not this long list of things where the start of this happens. In fact, God actually helps us a little bit to understand that really there are three big roots to this. And you'll see, once you see it here, you'll see a pattern of this all over the Bible, a pattern of the same three things. And one of the places that we can read about them is in 1 John 2. So we'll read this and we'll see. But again, when you read the Bible, you'll see the same pattern of these three things over and over again. So let's read this. This is what John says about it in 1 John 2, verse 16. He says this. He goes, all right, so for everything in the world, this is the root, by the way, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires, they pass away. That's why you don't want to be involved in that stuff. You don't want to get out of control of that stuff, because you want to be doing the will of God, because that is what lives forever. All right, so here's what we want to do. When it comes down to it, there are really three categories that we fight against, three categories that are the root of the things that we can lose control of. If you want to write these down, here's the first one that he says, which is the lust of the flesh, and that's our appetites. That's our appetites. So it's the thing in you where you want your body, you want like your feelings to be happy, right? You want to be happy. And what it does is, see, it puts your feelings in front of everything. It puts your feelings in front of everything. And can I just say that your feelings are actually sometimes the worst thing to follow? It's true, right? It's true if you think about it. Like your feelings are what caused you to go from watching one more episode to 10 and then you woke up late. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what your feelings did. Like your feelings sent that text. You know which one I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, right? Your feelings are what got you up at 2 a.m. and opened the fridge. Ain't nothing good happening after midnight, everybody. Unless you're on shift work or something like that. Don't do it. Don't open that fridge, right? So our appetites can get out of control when happiness is the goal. When happiness is the goal, because then whatever makes me happy must be right, and whatever doesn't make me happy, it must be wrong. That's not true. That's not true. So our appetites can get out of control. Here's a second one he lists, which is lust of the eyes, and that's like stuff. That's possessions. That's the things that we see, right? That's the eyes, right? Here's what this one is. This is what this one is. I see it, I want it now, and I want all of it. That's what it is. I see it, there it is. I want it, and I want all of it right now, right? Like our culture, like, man, I'm telling you, we live in a generation that almost values debt. Value, like, and there's, I mean, not all debt is bad, but I think we can just get to a place where, like, you do things not out of need, but out of greed. That's the only reason, like, I want more, and I don't want to wait for it, I don't want to save for it, I want more. And here's the deal. Like, some of you here know exactly what I'm about to talk about. Some of you are going to zone me out for the next couple seconds, because you got to figure this out for yourselves, but I'm telling you, we'll all land in the same exact place with this. Like, if you're not convinced yet, you'll get there. But listen, you'll get more house, you'll get a bigger truck, you'll get a better thing, and you're initially going to think, oh man, this is it, I finally got there, it did it for me. It doesn't do it for you. Amen, anybody? It doesn't. And then the thought is, well, it's probably that thing. And then we set our sights on that other thing, and it all of a sudden we're out of control. Out of control with getting that thing. Here's a third one. It's pride of life, and that's our ego. That's our ego. And so when this one gets out of control, see what is happening is like what I put at the center of my life is me. That's what happens. I put me at the center. And so what I do is I start, when I keep living out of my achievement or my kids' achievement, or that, hey, I want to worry about what they think of me, or like, man, I'll be looked at this way, or now I'll be respected. That's pride talking. Like, that's pride talking. And again, there's nothing wrong with some of those things, but it's just what becomes wrong is when you live for it, right? When you live for that. So that's pride. And I just want to tell you something. When you start reading the Bible, when you read about pride, there's actually only 7 things in the Bible that God says he hates, and pride is one of them. Okay, just think about that. I just want you to put that in your brain a little bit. In fact, God doesn't only say he hates it. He says, I will oppose you if you got it. So little pastorly advice. You don't want God opposing you, okay? Like, so I'm just passing the buck on that one, okay? Just something to think about. You don't want him opposing you. Listen, man, you don't want God's opposition. You want his grace. You want his mercy. So you got the lust of the flesh. You got the lust of the eyes. You got pride of life. What this is, everybody, listen, it's losing control of how I want to feel, how I want to be, and what I want to have. Losing control of, like, how I want to feel, what I want to have, and who I want to be. And here's the thing. There's a pattern in this all over the Bible, just these 3 things. You can see it in the very beginning in Genesis. Those are the things that drove the fall of man. Those 3 things, pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. It happened when Jesus was tempted, when he went into the wilderness, but Jesus showed us that we can't overcome it. Amen, everybody? Same 3 things that Satan tempted him with, and the same thing happens to us today, all right? And so back to Romans, right, with this in mind. So Paul looks at all that, and he goes, yeah, it's all that. It's all that. And it's all coming on me. It's all coming to me. And I don't want to lose control, but it's like the odds are stacked against me. And this is what Paul is left to say here back in Romans 7 in verse 24. Here's what he ends up concluding with it. He goes, man, what a miserable person I am. Who's going to free me from this? Like, who's going to save me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Now, I've been getting into a kick of looking up the Greek words for everything. The Greek word here for miserable, it means worn out from exhaustion. Like, it's just like you're absolutely out of energy. I think some of us know exactly how that feels. Wore out, tired, just can't get control. And he's basically like crying out to God with like this broken heart, right? And he's like, I can't change. Like, I cannot do this on my own. And so he says, who is going to rescue me from this? And the next line says this, one of the greatest lines in the entire Bible. Here's what he says. He says, thank God. The answer is, come on, everybody, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen, everybody? That's what he says. So he finally gets to the answer. And here's the answer. Of all of this stuff that's coming on, the answer is not coming from yourself. The answer is not coming showing up at church on Sunday. It doesn't come from other people. It doesn't come from you trying harder. It doesn't come from you setting better resolutions. No, the answer is in Jesus Christ. That's the answer. There is an answer, everybody. And Jesus comes in, and he's here today to tell you, you got to hear this. This is what Jesus is here to tell you today, that you don't, because of that, you don't have to continue to act that way. You don't have to continue to be that way. You don't have to continue to think that way, feel that way. Come on, somebody, you don't have, there's an answer. There's an answer. So let's keep reading, all right? And I don't want to complain, but I'm going to complain. Sometimes, like, so when you read the Bible, like, sometimes the chapter divisions and the verse numbers, like, sometimes that gets a little bit in the way of what it's really supposed to be. So I don't know if you guys know this or not, but, like, the original Bible didn't have any, chapter numbers and verse numbers. Like, translators put that in there to help you actually find stuff, which, yes and amen to that, I'm very grateful that they're in there. But what that causes, this is a specific place in here that I think is unfortunate, because what we do is we read Romans 7, and then we get to the end of them, we're like, great. And that's like the end of the thing, and that's the end of the, and then we go to chapter 8 like it's a new thing. But that's not how it was actually written. It's a continuous thought. And so what I want to do is I'm going to read it together like there's no divisions. And I'm just telling you, everybody, like, when you see it, you'll see it. Like, it's right there. So remember, Paul's like, man, I'm doing all this stuff I want to do. And like, what a miserable person I am. What is the answer? And he goes, thanks. You know, so here's what he says, and we're just going to read it continuously. He goes, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So now, see it? It's right there. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And he says, and because you belong to him, this is a continuous thought of the previous stuff, the power of the life-giving spirit. Here it is, everybody, freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And so I want you to hear this with your ears so you can like get it into your soul. Because you belong to Jesus, you could be free. I said, because you belong to Jesus, you can be free. He can set you free. You can be free from all that stuff that's getting out of control, that you feel like can't be out of control. Isn't that good news, everybody? We're a little quiet here today. Come on, man. You can be set free from the things that get out of control. Let's keep going. And I wasn't going to do this originally, but it's the beauty of the continuous thought of this is awesome. So he keeps going. And he says, okay, this. He goes, so the law of Moses was unable to save. We already covered that. The rules alone can't get you there. Why? Because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So what did he do? God figured it out for us. God did what the law couldn't do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. I love how he says it that way. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sin. We don't have to do it anymore. But we actually instead follow the Spirit. And so here it is. This is like where the rubber meets the road, everybody, with this one thing. Okay, listen to me. Self-control. It's not just possible in the life of a believer. Here's what you got to catch. It's actually written inside you right now. Like as you sit, self-control is stitched inside of you because the Holy Spirit is in you. So the good news is you don't have to try to figure out how to get to it. It's already inside of you. In fact, the more that I study self-control, the less I like the phrase. Like it's because when you look at the word or phrase self-control, that's a contradiction for us. Do you see what I'm saying? Because like it reads like that's like something that I do, right? It's like it's up to me, but it's not me who brings self-control. It's not, but it's there inside of me already through the Holy Spirit, ready to become free, ready to be deployed, ready to be lived out in our lives. And I don't know about you, but that's good news for me, everybody. Like, I'm so glad it's already in there. I just got to figure out how to get it out, right? I don't have to like produce it on my own. Okay, so here's what I want to do today. I want to land the plane. But I thought about this, man. I thought this has been such a powerful series. A lot of folks have come up to me and talked about how much God has used this series of spiritual fruit in their lives with where they are. So I want to land the plane and not just talk about self-control, but I want to give us an application that these three things that I think, if you could find yourself getting into this rhythm of doing these three things in your walk with God, here's what I believe. I believe it'll happen. Not only will you see self-control growing, you're going to see all nine of these things growing in your life through these three things, okay? If you want to write these down, I would recommend you do. Here's the first thing that we got to do is you got to tell God you're wrong. You got to repent. You got to repent. Because like, I don't know about you, like when I look at that list, I don't look at that list and say, man, I'm doing great on those. And I'm going, no, I fall short. And I was like, so we got to, first thing, we got to repent. Repent means this, that you change your mind by changing your direction, right? It's saying, God, you're right, I'm wrong. And can I just tell you that how counter that is to the world, everybody? Right there like that, because here's what the world says. The world right now is saying, listen, when you have a feeling, it's right. Because I mean, it's your if you're feeling it, how can it be wrong? And so like where people get off the rails with this, and unfortunately it happens with Christians and it's also happening in churches, is here's what they'll say. They'll say, well, for me, already off the rails, for me, well, you know, this is my truth and so this is right for me. No, God's always right. It's God. Am I talking to somebody out there? It's God who's right. He's always right. Here's the thing, everybody. God's right when I know he is, and he's also right even when I don't understand it. He's also right when I don't feel it. He's also right when I don't agree with him all the way. Anybody hearing me out there today? You're awful quiet today. Am I talking in your bedroom, living room, off your porch or something? God's right all the time. And listen, here's what I want to say. I know a lot of you are new, and you're trying to figure out whether or not this is the church you want to be, but let me tell you something. Like, here's the kind of church that I want to be. Listen, it's simple. I want to be a church that follows Jesus. That's it. That's it, and that's it. Like, I want, but here's the thing, everybody. If we want to be a church that is going after Jesus, then we cannot fall into the lies and say, well, you can believe in God over here and still have your own set of truths to follow. No. What we have to do is we got to change. And that's a word that everybody doesn't like either. Everybody gets offended when they say you got to change just by being you, but that is the essence of the gospel. Listen to me, the essence of the gospel is that we change. We have to change. We change towards God and towards righteousness, and it's not the other way around. People get really confused by that, but we don't. Listen, God doesn't change towards us. We change toward him, and then our feelings follow. That we got to change towards God. And so we repent. And here's what will happen when we repent. I love this verse in Acts 3. It says this. So repent, turn to God, right? Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. But there's also something else that happens. The times of refreshing may come to your soul. Man, I love that. So the moment you do this, like real true repentance, God, you're right and I'm absolutely wrong. Here's what it says will happen. You will experience renewal. You will experience refreshment to your soul because you submitted yourself to the Lordship of Christ. And I just want to tell you, repentance is one of the greatest invitations in the life of a believer. Did you know that? It should be something we look forward to because it's turning to the thing that's right. And it's like, why wouldn't we want to do that? Because that's where refreshment is. And it's one of the greatest invitations we have. So we turn from the sin, we repent. Here's the second thing that we got to do. Since this is like a series on the Holy Spirit, and I've already said this, it's on repeat, but I figure it bears repeating right now. I got to enable the Holy Spirit in order for these things to be going on in my life. I have to enable the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to do greater things for God. Like you can't do it on your own. The Holy Spirit, that's why he's in you. And so here's my challenge to you. Again, this is a repeat, but I hope you write these down again. This is the easiest thing that I can tell you to do. Every single day in your life, some of you already know this because I've said it several times. You just do three things. You can do these three things before your feet hit the ground. It's that quick and that easy. And it's three prayers to the Holy Spirit. Here it is, ready? The first one is Holy Spirit, guide me. Write that, Holy Spirit, guide me today. Because here's the thing, I know you're nudging me, I know you're speaking to me, I know you're talking, so guide me. I wanna be sensitive to what you're saying. So Holy Spirit, guide me, right? Here's the second one, Holy Spirit, change me. Change me, because you're telling me that I can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. Change me to that. I gotta change towards that. So Holy Spirit, change me today towards those things. And here's the last one, Holy Spirit, empower me today. Because when you believe that with the Holy Spirit, you have the same power in you that raised Jesus from the grave, I'm telling you, you will be empowered for the day. Amen, somebody? I'm telling you. Empower me. And if you can do that before your feet hit the ground every day, I am telling you, you will see the Holy Spirit working more in your life. Does anyone want to testify to that? Amen? Yeah. Because like what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a place to be way more sensitive to what he already wants to do in your life. Okay, so we do this. We repent, we enable the Holy Spirit, but we also have to know that you gotta be like maintaining this in your life. Yeah, there's gotta be a way that we maintain this. And so here's the third thing that you have to put in place for all this to happen. It will not happen unless you do this third thing. You gotta commit to the lifestyle of a disciple. You have to commit to the lifestyle of a disciple. So, like, here's the deal. There is not a church that exists that can get you to be living out of these nine things if you have not actually committed yourself to living out the faith in a daily way in your relationship with Jesus. There's no church that can get you there. We can't get you there. Like, it's impossible. Like what happens if you haven't really fully committed yourself to a daily walk with God, like doing the daily disciplines? That's where disciple comes from. Like praying every day, like seeking God in his word every day, like doing these like prayers to the Holy Spirit every day. Like if you're not doing it, here's what's gonna happen. And unfortunately it happens, it'll happen today. Like you came today and you're like, man, that was a good word. I'm gonna live this out, right? And you're, Monday you're like, yeah, let's go. And I don't know why you sound so country, but anyways. But here's what's gonna happen. If you don't have these things in place, listen to me, Sunday morning's not good enough to help you. That's like my job, and it's like kind of stinky to say, but like sermons ain't gonna change you. It's not, I'm not good enough. Because if you don't have those things in place come Wednesday, it's gonna be a last thought. So we gotta put ourselves in a place, like this could be a catalyst, yes and amen. The sermon could be a catalyst, yes, but if you're not putting yourself in a daily place with God every day, like it happens over time in a daily walk with him. It's a process of taking a step every single day with God. Here it is, everybody. This is as simple as I can make. It just takes the next step. You gotta take the next step. And when you take the next step, take the next step. And listen, we can't get you all the way there, but here's what we certainly could do. We can help you get there. Like, that's why we exist. We exist to help you take the next step. And so we lay things out in the easiest possible way for you to know at least what your next step is. So let me just kind of give you over the next several minutes what we do, how we lay this out. If you're new to church, and you've seen this if you've been here for a while, but I think it's important to show over and over again. So let me just tell you how we get you into these next steps. The first one for some of you here today is you got to get baptized. That's like the first step. Our next baptism is November 16th. If you haven't done that, like it's so important in the life of a believer. Like baptism, so when you read in the Bible, baptism does not save you, but when you read in the Bible, every time when somebody comes to saving faith, what's the next thing they do? They get baptized. Like what do we do? Get baptized. Jesus said, get baptized him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even Jesus got baptized. So why it's important is because it's the first step of obedience in the life of a believer. And if it's the first step of obedience, then I would just recommend that you get that done. Just have that done so that you can declare what it is publicly declaring your allegiance to Jesus, that you are a son, daughter of God, changed and saved by him. So you gotta get baptized. Next one's November 16th. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to go to our baptism classes and get that taken care of. But then as a church, like we go through these four movements. This is what we do. This is like how we put you in the best place that we can. And they're not perfect, but we think that they can help lay out the steps in a great way. So let me go through these really quick. The first thing that we think everybody should take steps in is you got to be connecting with God. And in other words, you got to know what it means to follow Jesus, right? So part of that is coming here, yes and amen. Like, we want to get you aligned in the steps. We want to give you application for your life. And so that's part of it, but it's also this daily interaction with God. We want to keep encouraging that so that you connect with God daily. The second one is that you grow in community. Why? You need people. You got to find people to help grow. You cannot do this on your own. Well, I mean, you might be trying. Good luck. Like, you need other people who are going in the same direction with Jesus in a world that's not. Come on, everybody. In a work environment, it's probably not. You need people. And surprise, surprise, by the way, tonight, 4:30, if you're like, what does it mean to be in a group? 4:30 tonight, you could come and check it out. We're gonna have everything laid out for you. If you're not in a group, you wanna find out more, group link is tonight, 4:30. Just come to the church, find out more. We got open groups right now looking for folks to get involved. And so if you wanna know more about what it means to be in a group, come tonight. If you don't have to sign up, just come at 4:30, find out more what it looks like to find your people to grow your faith. Then we say, man, God's given you abilities. He's given you great ability, spiritual gifts, and so we want to see those deployed, not out in the world only, but also here in the church. And so we want to put everybody in a position where you have an opportunity to serve here on a Sunday morning, serve here during maybe a group leader or doing something outside. We'd love to do that and get you plugged in with that. And ultimately, that you go. That all this kind of comes to fruition, that you go out there in the world that, again, badly needs to see what living for Christ is, and all these things will kind of get you to that final step of like, all right, I'm gonna make a difference in this world for Jesus. Look, and here's the thing, like this is where rubber meets the road. We cannot make you do this. Can't make you do it, right? It's a choice to commit yourself fully to God. But here's what I would say, this is the incentive. Here's the incentive, like, you will never experience all of God halfway in. Do you hear what I'm saying? You will never experience all of God like partway in. Some of you just need to commit right now. For some of you right now, it's time. Like, it's time to detach from the things the enemy is using to tear you apart from God. It's time with some of the things that you're losing control over, and you're recognizing some of the decisions that have put you in that place, and you're losing. It's time to allow the God who is in control, that you turn your control over to him, because he can actually change you. Come on, somebody, it's time. It's time for you to do, maybe it looks like finally getting in a group. Come to Group Link tonight, just check it out. Find out for yourself. We're not gonna force you to write your name in blood or something. Like, come figure it out and see if that's the next step for you. Maybe it looks like for some of you today, I really do think this is a step, just to finally commit to following Jesus. Get off the fence. If it's true, it's true, right? Like, so get off, you're never gonna fully experience God unless you're fully in with him. And we're here to help you take those steps. And maybe for some of you, this is like what God spoke to me about earlier in the week. You need to change some sin habits in your life today. Stop. Stop. You're not gonna find freedom there. You're not gonna find satisfaction there. Believe God and believe what he says is true. Turn from that sin. Turn to God who is right. Anybody hear me out there? Turn, find redemption, and what you'll see is his grace and love and mercy that will pour over you, and you will finally experience freedom from whatever is setting you and holding you back and holding you down. But it all starts with a choice. I don't know what your next step is, but we got a next step for you. And so I pray that you take it with us, and we're so glad that you already took the step to be here. So let me pray for us, and prayer team can come forward. And here's the next, there might be a step for you right now. Like, you might just need somebody to pray for you. Like, I talked about some heavy stuff here today, and we have a prayer team that is ready not just to pray for this specific, we want to pray for anything going on in your life. So we'll have people up here in the front, man, and sometimes just voicing something to somebody and saying, that's the step of freedom. And so we would love to pray for you. We'll be up here after service. Just come find one of our prayer team folks, and they would love to pray for you, okay? Don't let that pass by. Let me pray for us. God, Thank you for the freedom that you set us on. Thank you that we don't have to be held down by the things that hold us back from you, but you have, we got a choice to make. And I pray right now today that we have just the courage to at least face some of the things that we need to change, that we believe you can change us, God, that we want to change towards you. And God, give us the courage and the strength to actually allow you, Holy Spirit, to work in us and make the change, because the world needs to see what you look like in action. And I pray over these men and women in here that we can actually be a church who actually goes out in the world and the world sees who Jesus is in us and they want more of what that's about. And we just point people to Jesus. We love you and we pray for all this and we all say together in unison, 1, 2, 3, amen, amen. All right, hey, everybody, have a great Sunday. Don't forget, come get prayed over. And if not, we'll see you next week.